Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You are listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast, a show for women who are chasing their everyday and epic adventures. This podcast is hosted by Christy Moan and me, Katherine Taylor, and powered by Feisty Media.
This is Katherine having a like meltdown.
Today's podcast recording is a little bit like my travel, my last week for travel.
I was going to say, today's podcast recording is brought to you by Katherine Taylor's lack of sleep and yeah. Long journey home.
It's Tuesday after the Gravel Festival, and I was like, oh, I didn't mean to schedule a recording today, but I was like, it'll be fine. I'll get home Monday night, and I'll sleep in Tuesday. I'll have a little downtime, and by 2:30, I'll be great for a podcast recording. I got home from the airport an hour ago because my flight got delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed in Dallas. And finally, I had to stay there overnight and didn't leave until, well, supposed to leave at 9 a.m. and we left at 9:45 because they had more issues.
And seriously, folks, that was like six delays she threw it at you. So it was very delayed.
It was very delayed. Well, so I had a 5-hour layover already. Then I sat on the runway for 3 hours.
That's right, a full work day.
For an hour while they figured out what they were going to do.
Yeah, that's craziness. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're home. And kudos, congratulations on a ridiculously amazing weekend. So that was really, really great.
Thank you. Thank you for being there. I mean, I literally can't get over how amazing it was and how, and like Amy put together an amazing program, but it was the community that showed up also.
Always. I mean, the program has to be there, but then, what we're really seeing is what this community means to each other and at how good this community is at showing up and inviting more people in. So if you didn't make it, it's totally fine. But it's worth, hopefully you followed along on and you listened to the podcast that was released today of, from the festival, but really see if any of those people came that you know that are in your community. Like it's just a cool way to connect and continue growing this little, I would like to say niche, but it's not even that anymore. Like we're making it mainstream, man.
I know. Well, yeah. It was cool because I think 75-80% of people came solo and they all met friends and were like making plans to like meet up. Like we ran into two girls, me and some of my Atlanta crew were doing a little art ride on Sunday. And we ran into some women that were at the festival. One had done her first 100-mile gravel ride with the Femmes ride. And she told us like, she'd always just thought that her boyfriend has done some 100-mile gravel centuries, but she's like, oh, well, that's a guy thing. And she just wanted an environment where she felt safe to do it. So she did that. And then she had met the woman she was riding with, like they met in the Facebook group, ended up rooming together. And now we're like planning all these trips together. So it was just really cool. And they both said that one of the reasons they came is they wanted to get to know other women that rode gravel. And it did not disappoint. And they said every clinic they went to, like they learned a ton. So
What I loved was when we were going down the Beltway path, there was a group, there were two women that were walking, and one of them hollered up, and I was sweeping that group, and they were like, what are you all doing? And I was like, it's a girls gravel festival. And they both were like, look, what is this? This is cool. Like seeing all of these women riding together, and like, obviously Bentonville, just like around Emporia this time of year, there's so many people out riding bikes, and like seeing these big groups of women that are out there, like it raises eyebrows, and people want to know what we're doing. And that just also helps grow that community too. So it was really cool. Very special. So
I know it's a busy time of year, but I really appreciate
yourself. I know you saw me having my anxiety bit on a Saturday morning, but
Christy was like, I was like, no,
I gotta go. I need 5 minutes. It just,
you need to go to the house and work on emails.
Yeah. I just went and sat down and got myself level set, but it's one of those things. Like I knew it's a hard weekend for me to leave. And obviously I always say yes when you ask, because you're asking me in like November, December, January. And I'm like, oh, sure. No problem. That's great. Not a problem at all. And like Abby Robbins texted me and they were like, when are you getting here? And I said, Thursday, probably about 3 or so. And, you know, they were like, get here now. And I literally thought, I have no business going, but I want to go so bad. And I never, you know, I didn't. I was like, I really have too many things and cooks, you know, irons in the fire, whatnot, but it's always worth it. And, yeah. and the food was fantastic.
Yeah. RBG, he like really upped the food.
So. He did.
It was such a great weekend. So anyway, but we also have a very fun guest today.
We do.
So there's going to be some technical difficulties. Ellen was having a little bit of her internet was coming out on a couple of the answers. I just like all of a sudden my internet completely went out.
Yeah.
So, and then maybe I was a little off because I had to call in on my phone at the end. So bear with us, but it's really fun to hear from Ellen. She's a young rider. It's her second year in the Grand Prix, and she has some really great perspective on just what's happening from her eyes and how we can continue to grow the women's sport. So, and you all talked about some great things while I was trying to get back on.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear. All right. Well, we're going to get on to our interview with Ellen. Oh, you have something to announce.
No, sorry. I was just getting ready to stop the recording.
Oh,
Christy's
trying to stop the recording and she doesn't know how to do it after she makes fun of me.
I do. No, it's up. I thought you started talking again.
I just said we're going to get on to our interview with Ellen Campbell. It's the same thing I do every time. Every time. It's just been a while.
So give Carrie a clean cut. Oh no, who's Lindsay now?
Sorry, Lindsay. I'm sorry. Now we're going to go on to our interview with Ellen Campbell.
To live your healthiest life possible, you need to understand what's going on inside. Inside Tracker takes a personalized approach to health and longevity from the most trusted and relevant source, your body. Inside Tracker was created by experts in aging, genetics, and biometric data from Harvard, Tufts, and MIT. It provides personalized health analysis and clear recommendations, plus an action plan on how to live a longer, healthier life. Inside Tracker can also calculate your biological age, which is the rate you're aging compared to your chronological age, as well as ways to lower your biological age. The thing we love most about Inside Tracker is that they give you recommendations on things you can control to optimize your health, like food, supplements, workouts, and other lifestyle choices. And did you know that you can use your HSA, HRA, and FSA to buy any Inside Tracker plan? Which means you can purchase Inside Tracker using your tax-free dollars. Oh, and it gets better. For a limited time, you get 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store when you sign up. So if you're ready to get a crystal clear picture of what's going on inside your body, along with the science-backed recommendations to optimize what's not working, visit insidetracker.com/feisty. That's insidetracker.com/feisty.
This
This is a first.
Yeah, this is hot. This is Catherine's falling apart here, folks.
So. I couldn't find the record button, which is not unusual for the podcast, but I had to make Christy the co-host because I couldn't go.
I have the major responsibility of recording this week's podcast. So if anything comes out funky, we all know who to blame.
It's all Christy's fault.
It's all Christy's fault. So
poor Ella. She's like, what the hell did I sign up for? She's got us coming off the Grapple Festival.
Yes, we have, just so everybody knows, we have Ellen Campbell joining us today. So welcome to the show, Ellen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Sounds like a fun crew. I like it.
Yeah. Well, Ellen, we always start just, we want to hear your story of how you got into bikes, how you got on the bike.
That's a great question. Well, I'm from Durango, Colorado, born and raised, and there's a lot of cyclists here, a lot of cyclists. Yeah, you've probably heard of a few. Yeah, so I kind of started riding when I was really little. I actually, my mom bribed me to ride a bike with a doll, like a, I don't know, American Girl doll or something.
That's so amazing.
I didn't really, I was pretty scared of it, I think. But yeah, then I kind of just tootled around as a little kid and eventually joined the Durango Devo program in middle school. And from there, I went to practice a couple days a week and made some friends. And it was mostly mountain biking. I didn't really like it that much, honestly. I liked the friends. I liked the snacks. I liked being outside, but I didn't really like the hard work of riding up hills. I remember being like very distraught about how far behind I was the rest of the kids. But at some point later in high school, yeah, I think like freshman year of high school, I did NICA, my first NICA race in Fruita. And then I did really well and I like surprised myself and I didn't even bring a jersey to race in to that race. I remember my coach being like, oh, you don't have a jersey that says Durango on it. Like you have to have, like, that's the rules of NICA. Like you have to have a jersey. And she gave me the jersey off her back. She just was like, you have to wear this. And I did the race and I surprised myself. And I think I got second or third or something. And from there, I kind of was more motivated to ride more often and race. And I got a little bit more competitive and just kind of took off from there. So that's kind of how I got into biking and into racing. And yeah.
I love that you were driven by snacks.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like snack time. Like there's like a part of Devo practice, which I'm sure is like in every sort of young kids sport program, but it's like, when's snack time? When do we get to stop and have snacks? And that, like, even now I coach the Devo program. And so going to practice now, I usually coach the high schoolers, but when I coach the little kids, they're like, when's snack time, Coach Ellen? When's snack time?
That's amazing.
So what was your favorite snack then? And then how have snacks evolved to what is the new Devo development snack favorite?
Oh, that's a really good question. I know that right. Or when I was like in Devo and what I really liked was like the fruit roll-up thing or like fruit leathers, I think they were called.
What a bad word to pair with.
I know, fruit. Like I know. No one wants to eat leather. Like that's not right. So I was really into fruit leathers. But I think, yeah, like some sort of like the fruit, like moths or gushers. There's, you know, all the allergies and stuff, like parents are sending very specific snacks for their kids these days. I think it was a little bit looser when I was in Devo. But yeah, it's a great question. Fruit leathers. I haven't thought of those in a while.
Well, what's your go-to snack now?
Ooh, twin snakes. They're made. They're like, they're, I think they're
hard boiled.
I was like,
Harbo. Like the,
the German gummy bear.
Yes. It's the same thing. Yes. I think so. So twin snakes, one sour snake and one sweet snake, and they're like attached together. But they're kind of a hard snack to eat, you know, a lot while riding.
I like it.
Yeah.
And did you start, I just pulled my microphone off the desk. Did you start racing like professionally right out of high school, or how did you get into doing more of the like that elite level mountain bike and gravel racing?
Yeah, I went to school in Durango. I went to college in Durango at Fort Lewis College, and they have a really great collegiate cycling program. They have mountain bike and cyclocross and road, BMX, track, like every discipline you could ever want, really. And so I did a lot of racing through them, and I've met a lot of, like, that's where I got my first coach, like private coach. And that's where I met a lot of like, other cyclists that were sponsored and kind of learned that realm of like, oh, if I want to race outside of, you know, these development programs or out of, college, I need to kind of pursue that and have some support for it. So I just kind of learned about it through that and got on, you know, some smaller development programs, Summit Bike Club and Bear Development Team, or I guess, I think it's called Bear Development Team now. And then eventually worked with my teammate, Sarah Sturm, and took it kind of to another level. And really, I mean, I've been racing for a while at that level, but not quite as serious, like not as my full-time gig, but last year was really my first year as a full-time professional racer. So yeah, it's cool.
I've really enjoyed watching the relationship between you and Sarah. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that, because I think it's very special.
So Sarah and I have a good friendship going, but Sarah has been in the Durango cycling community for a while. She went to school at Fort Lewis also and went through the collegiate program. And so she's kind of personality. If anyone follows her, they know that pretty easily. But so all the while I'm in school and I'm in Devo, everyone knows about Sarah in Durango. Like, she's bubbly, she's fun. And so everyone talks about Sarah. And she's just like a person you want to be around. So when I was starting to get more serious into, you know, serious racing and riding, she was a really important role model for me. So I definitely connected with her quite a bit, you know, fangirl a little bit, and try to, you know, see what I can do to like be like Sarah as a little kid and or young adult, I should say. And then I guess in the last 4 or 5 years, we've gotten a little bit closer, doing rides together. And as I pursue, you know, longer, more serious mountain bike races, she has been a really, you know, helpful person to that. Just, you know, she gives me all the tips and tricks. She gives me a lot of guidance. And even beyond the bike, Sarah's been one of those people that just like you can go to and be like, hey, I'm having these relationship issues, or like, you know, our dads actually are very similar people. And so sometimes we talk about our dads. I think over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, we've gone closer, but it really started with just, yeah, that bubbly, fun personality, and also seeing someone who's like very driven in this community, that's female and is kind of doing it in a non-traditional way. Like a lot of the cyclists in Durango are Olympic athletes chasing the World Cup circuit, and Sarah was not doing that, and that was kind of cool and unique, and she was kicking butt while doing it, so she was a good role model.
Well, and I mean, you both are teammates and have done the Grand Prix. Did she drag you into that, or were you like, this is something I want to try, or was it a little bit of both?
Well, when we decided to start working together, she kind of reached out to me and kind of, I guess, was like, let's make this happen. Like, I think we can be teammates and get some support for you. And so we worked on that. And all the while, the Lifetime Grand Prix was coming out as a series. Mm-hmm. And so we both applied. It was like an application process. So we both applied, and I actually did not get selected the first, the first time they came out with the selection. And so I was making my own schedule and Sarah was making her own schedule. And we had some overlapping races, but in the end, I guess a few gals, mm-hmm. or maybe one or two gals, wasn't able to do the Grand Prix. And so they called me a few weeks before Sea Otter, and they were like, there's a spot if you want it. And Sarah and I were like, yeah, we should do that. Or Sarah was already in, but Sarah was like, yeah, you should do that. It's going to be really big for your first year of doing long races, like really big, but you should do it. Before last season, before March of 2022, I had not ridden over 100 miles ever.
Alan, not even in training. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a really big jump, really big dive in. I think Unbound was my third or fourth gravel race ever.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, so. I mean, the funny thing is, having been around the sport for as long as I've been around, it was great to watch women that were names I didn't know, which obviously one of them was you, didn't know who Ellen Campbell was, but obviously you walking around in a kit similar to Sturmey's, I'm like, okay, she's got to be legit on some level here. And then to hear like, you really had like Unbound 200 was your third gravel race. Oh my God. That's just crazy.
Yeah, it was wild. I kind of dove into the deep end, and honestly, Sarah really took a chance on me. I think mm-hmm. she kind of watched me grow up and watched me, as our friendship developed, but also like as I developed as a cyclist and she developed as a mentor, she's told me multiple times, she's like, yeah, I see that you have something and that you're driven and so let's do it. And so, yeah, we kind of jumped right in and I literally dove right into the deep end.
Well, and it sounds like you're somewhat paying it forward if you're also coaching.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually in the fall, I try to make sure I have some time to coach. It's very rewarding. Kind of in a cliche way, it's very rewarding, but it's rewarding in the sense that I get to remember like the very basic skills of mm-hmm. riding a bike, remember the very basic skills of interacting with, watching teenagers interact with each other and remembering like, oh, that's where I started. Like when they do silly things, like don't bring a water bottle for a 2-hour bike ride. I'm like, why are you doing that? And then I remember myself as that, that high school kid that was kind of getting into biking and didn't really know better, was also a teenager going through high school and life. So it's great to be back riding with the teenagers and the high school kids. It's fun to watch them like go from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. And they come up to me and they're like, Coach Ellen, I really want to get second at Nash or at state champs. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like they started and they were getting 10th place consistently and they just had a goal. And so it's really fun to like get to know each kid and I guess I should say young adults. They are not kids, they're young adults. get to know them and watch them progress and also progress in like different types of riding. Like some of them are very much into like XC, like you know, going up hills, and then some are really into jumps, like they just want to hit dirt jumps all the time, or maybe they want to try some gravel. So yeah, it's really cool to like just be part of that like learning experience with them.
Have any of them collected your Ellen Campbell trading cards?
A few, yeah. Actually, nice. Yeah. Yeah. And last year I helped out with the Fort Lewis mountain bike, the girls mountain bike team. And some of them really wanted Sarah and I's cards also. It's kind of fun to make a little collage of them. I think we have some more from this year that I'll try to get out too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's fun. I mean, I remember when I was a kid and like when somebody was a pro, you know, like a pro swimmer cyclist, it was so cool if you knew them. So I'm sure your girls, even they have, you coach them, feel the same way. Like, it's so cool.
Yeah, they love it. And they start coming to races too that I'm at. And that's cool to like see them, you know, at races and then see like how they do like outside of like the normal Nike race or something. Some of the girls I coach from last fall were at the Whiskey 50 at the Grand Whiskey 50. And I didn't even know they were there until I was going up in the crit, going up the really steep hill. I don't know if you're familiar with that course, but there's like a wall of a hill part way through the crit. And I was like, oh, hello, all the Devo girls are here. And it was very fun to see them out there cheering.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed the whole mentorship. Conversation on top of my flight saga today. My Wi-Fi just went out for a second.
Like, but you're back.
I'm back. Okay. I'm back. I'm curious. I asked Anna Yamauchi the same thing, and I'm curious from you too, Ellen. Like, being really young in the sport and newer, what do you see as the opportunities for women right now in the sport?
That's a great question also. Well, I guess the main thing I've noticed in my time racing, whether it was like at a professional level or not, is just there's not that many women racing. And there's a lot of small things that, you know, have not helped that situation, have not helped get more women into cycling. So, I mean, it's really easy to focus on the things that are not happening, but I think there's a lot of unique ways when you can use their power to grow cycling and get more women into cycling. Because if you show up at a race, like there's probably a fourth, if not less, of the men's field is women. So it's pretty small. And it's not every race, of course, and it's not every event either. It's not to say it's just racing, it's just cycling in general. But yeah, I think there's a lot of awesome tools that women can utilize that, not that men can't utilize those same tools. And like these podcasts, that's a great example. But even having clinics, having workshops, group rides, I think that women need to feel empowered in this sport. And not to say that there aren't women that aren't empowered, but I think we have that unique trait as female athletes that, you know, we can encourage each other, we can make each other feel welcome and secure and excited. And I think all of those things, you know, if you show up to a ride and it's a lot of ladies, and that's more motivating and exciting to go keep riding, to keep showing up, and you can make new friends that way. So I think utilizing awesome tools like podcasts, like group rides, even sharing, having like a voice. So using platforms like podcasts and social media and you know, like that's what Betsy Welsh does at VeloNews. Those are all great tools for for female cyclists to kind of get their voice out and share like their experiences, because there's not enough women in the sport, and therefore not, you know, everything's kind of blanket statement or blanket cookie cutter from the men placed on the women, and that's not always the best. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not, but giving women that voice to, you know, say, hey, like, we do this group ride every Tuesday and we actually want to do a shorter route, and I think that's better for us. Or saying like, hey, we actually, like for Unbound this year, hey, we actually need our own start, and that's awesome. I think that is, that's going to be, that's the future for women cycling, or at least I hope so. There's more women and there's more voice, I guess. Yeah.
One of the most frustrating things about going to big gravel races in the last 2 years is I have been getting sick pretty much every time I travel. And I travel about once a month for work or to a big gravel event or something related. And it's so frustrating when I get there and I can already feel the sore throat and the cold coming on, and it really takes me out for several weeks. And that's why I'm excited about our new podcast sponsor, Prevenex. We've worked with Prevenex within our Feisty brands for a long time. If you listen to Hit Play Not Pause, you've heard about joint support. You've also heard about how their great protein powder, but I am really obsessed with this product called Immune Health Plus. It has helped me go from getting sick every time I travel to I've not been sick one time this year. And I've also been on the road a good bit already this year. So it has everything that you need for immune health support, and it's way better than anything you're going to find in a grocery store or health food store. It's supercharged with immune boosting ingredients like elderberry fruit, extract, zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, and calcium. Now, if you want to stay healthy through your race season this year, you're going to use the code Girls Gone Gravel for 15% off your first purchase of Immune Health Plus or any of their other products. That's Girls Gone Gravel for 15% off of your purchase, and you go to Prevenex.com. You can find that in the show notes.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, because when you mentioned the diva teams, I was like, oh yeah, like how that plays out too, you know, 10 years down the road, because before I came to gravel cycling, I was a big part of USA Triathlon. And they had, like, they really focused on youth development for a long time, and primary, and like really on the women, because Gwen won that first gold, and the women's field is so strong in USA Triathlon right now. When they just had the big world triathlon event, the US women were 4 of the top 10, but it, you know, like that's been a 10 years in the making to really raise that level. So I'm curious if those Devo teams kind of do something similar.
Yeah, I agree. I think like development in the women's, like kind of specific in the women's, like Durango has a great cycling community, but it's not, there's no women's rides here. There's no women's skills clinic. There's no women's specific development, whether it's junior level or not. And I actually lived in Missoula, Montana for 2 years, and they have a program called MT Alpha, and that is just for female cyclists, and they do all of those things. They do clinics, they do like workouts together, they'll like make intervals together. But I think it's such a important piece, because women develop differently. There's other aspects that need to be addressed as female athletes, not just cyclists. So like talking mental health to these youth programs, these female youth programs, or nutrition and body image. And there's just a lot of pieces, and not to say those pieces aren't there for men, but in the past it hasn't necessarily been focused on. And I think that's where, if we can focus on those smaller pieces at a young age, and just like in general, on, we can kind of grow cycling in for women.
I like the perspective of, I mean, obviously you keep talking about, it's like, it's not that it's necessarily not good for men or whatnot, but truthfully, I think that's one of the biggest things we can do, is just realize that we own the space ourselves. And it's totally okay for us to ask for things to be a little bit differently, because it's for us. It's not for somebody else. It's for women specifically. So I think those are some of the bigger things that we are seeing adjustments continuing to be made in the sport of cycling. And I feel like gravel leads the way in this a lot of the times. And I think mountain biking, same sort of thing, but a lot of it's because you have so many strong female leaders in the space too, the athletes that are there doing the work. And it's great to have role models like you out there, because you're encouraging, you know, the 6, 7, 8-year-old girls. And that's going to be where we really start seeing the continued growth. You know, I'll be in a wheelchair by then. So, you know, or using a walker or something. I think it's exciting to see all of this growth really, truly happening.
Yeah. I love it. I'm right there with you. Sometimes it's slow, but sometimes it's race to race. Sometimes it's slow. Like, you know, like you have to wait until they're, you know, the 8-year-olds are turned 15 and see that, like, what they've learned and how they choose to also make changes, you know, for themselves. And you know, like you said, like when they're in the center and when they're in the professional world, like how do they choose to be role models and how do mm-hmm. they get to make those decisions to make changes, and what kind, you know, like 10 years from now, what will the women's field look like at Unbound?
So excited.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I've even seen a change in the last, I mean, since we came back from the pandemic, and even in the last year with the women's Tour de France Femmes, like, I just think the level of women's cycling is rising so fast. And then we also have a lot of more examples to look to, right? And so the more we continue that, the more little girls can see women in those positions. Like I was, when Allison Jackson won Paris-Roubaix, I'm like, what is that? You know, like I was showing my niece, like her, because she likes to watch Instagram reels. I was like, watch her Instagram reels. And she was so excited to see her, you know, she's like, why does she have a rock? And all these funny things, you know, asking all those questions. And she's 7. So she just sees like, the girls can do that.
Mm-hmm. And they can do it their way too. Like the cool thing about Allison is she has very unique personality, and she's like fun to watch on social media and exciting and motivating in other ways, you know, like in cycling, but also in just like her personality is really fun. Her dance moves.
Her dance moves.
Yeah.
The reel she did with Ian Boswell, that she told him if she came on his podcast, he had to do a reel with her. And he's like so awkward.
I haven't seen that one. I'll have to go look for it. Cause that's amazing.
Hilarious. And he's like, I don't really know how to dance. And he really doesn't. It's so awkward. He's so awkward. It's so funny.
I haven't seen it either.
For doing it right.
It's like, is that the rule? Like if you know how to ride your bike really fast, you're inherently a poor dancer.
He's just like all limbs. He's like,
yeah, he is all limbs.
He's just like, what do you do with these things?
He kind of looks like a grasshopper now that I'm thinking about it. Like
now I'm gonna not be able to unsee that next time I see
it. Oh no.
Sorry, Ian.
I don't think he listens to our podcast.
Yeah, probably not.
Never know.
You never know. Somebody's going to send it to him.
Did you know that they said you look like a grasshopper?
Oh God, I'm going to see him in just a few weeks. Oh my gosh.
Well, Ellen, you were in the Grand Prix series. Were you in it last year or no? Yes, you were in it last year. What are you thinking of coming into year two?
I feel like I learned so much from last year. Like I was just texting Anna Yamauchi, like it's funny you brought her up, like an hour ago or something, and we were talking about our nutrition strategies for Unbound, and I told her, I said, well, last year I ate Fig Newtons for my nutrition strategy, which like to just, you know, for out for a bike ride, not a terrible food, we like Fig Newtons, but for a 200-mile gravel race, fig Newtons are not ideal. They're really dry and they have a lot of fiber and not easy to digest. So I don't recommend fig Newtons. But what I'm saying is I learned a lot. I learned to not eat fig Newtons.
Oh my God, I love this. Sorry.
Don't eat fig Newtons. But yeah, like learned a lot about nutrition, about how to ride over 100 miles, how to train. Even like, I think there was, by the end of the season, I had figured out a good bit of stuff, but sometimes I'd forget. Like I remember at Big Sugar last year, I didn't line up near the front, and after I got dropped pretty quick. And Sarah came up to me after the race and she's like, "Where were you, buddy?" And I was like, "I didn't line up in the right spot." And like, that was just something I, you know, had kind of learned, but like didn't implement. So there's a bunch of like little things like that, that I did learn from last year that I will be carrying into this year. I will not be bringing fig Newtons with me, for any race at all. But I think I'm most excited to try to use those things I learned and put them into play. And now that I kind of know what to expect, I know how it'll feel to do 200 miles. I'll know how it feels to do a whole season of the Lifetime Grand Prix and be able to kind of, you know, play with that a little bit more and kind of work on my strengths and work on my weaknesses. I think the power of knowledge, like knowing what's to come will be awesome. Yeah.
I do think you have a leg up.
Yeah.
When I was talking to somebody at Seattle and I was like, oh, it really, if you know how to pace yourself through a long season too, I think that's going to be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you on that. I think there's definitely a lot of, it's really easy to just get really excited or like hyper-focused on one race and like peak for that one race, which could be a great goal. I'm not saying that's not a good goal, but it depends on your goals. Like if you want to do well over the course of the whole season, that's like a different strategy than trying to win like one race or two races throughout the season.
You honestly, for your first go at that, like, I thought you had a very impressive season, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure that you felt like there were things that you could have done better or whatnot, but coming into it young and without the experience, I thought you had a good showing.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
I was really happy to just finish it, like, not as in the way like I want to be done, but just like, yeah, I like showed up to every race and mm-hmm. I finished every race. And that to me was a big win. That was like my only goal. So I'm really, yeah, I'm proud of myself for that.
Good. You should be.
Thank you. Is there one
you're looking most forward to this year?
Probably I'm looking most forward to Leadville, I would say. And Crusher. Yeah. I liked Crusher a lot. I think that one's like a tough nut to crack, kind of like Leadville, but tough nut to crack just because of the elevation and the how much climbing it is. It's kind of I feel like you could have a bad day and it could be really bad, or you could have a good day and it is still like not that great, you know, like a good day is like just feeling good and finishing, but a really good day is winning or doing well. And I think that type of course, like Crusher and Leadville, it really shows when you're having a bad day or you're having like a really good day, just because of how extreme those courses are. Crusher will be a lot of fun, I think.
There's no place to hide at Crusher.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
it's not that long, but it is long. So it's like,
that's,
you know, it's
just, exactly.
Yeah, it's 69 miles, and you can't screw it up. So
yeah, Totally. I thought it was going to be a lot shorter in my mind. And I think last year I was like, oh, I'm still climbing up this hill. I still haven't drank all my water yet.
Where are those fig Newtons?
Yeah, where are my fig Newtons?
I left him in the prairie in Kansas.
probably did drop one out there. Oh, man.
I used to ride with a guy and he did, what did he do? Like, he didn't know anything about nutrition and we were doing like Ironman training. And so one time he stood up just with a bag of dates. That was also a bad choice. It's similar to the fig Newton.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really hard on the body to digest.
Especially run afterwards.
Oh, oh no, that's too much fiber.
Oh God! Imagine how that goes.
Oh, just don't run with him.
Oh God, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what are you? Are you in a taper mode for Unbound? Are you kind of like, are you still kind of staying steady, like looking at the whole season? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm staying steady. I think. Yeah. Usually my goals are kind of at the end of the season, or not end, I guess I shouldn't say end, not even close to the end. I guess July and August. And I, you know, coming from a place like Colorado that has winter, you know, it's definitely a little bit easier to focus on the later season races just because you have that, have the winter. For Unbound, I'm definitely still training quite a bit. I'm sure I put a lot of trust in my coach, but yeah, I'm sure that after next week, how many weeks? We're like 3 weeks out. I'll definitely have some chill rides and focus on the travel and getting to Emporia and getting all settled in. And Unbound will be a good race, just to kind of, in my mind, it's a good race to like check the boxes. For me, it's, the goal is to finish, and I would love to, you know, best my time from last year. And obviously doing well would be, you know, a really nice cherry on top. But I think having like a nice, solid, clean race, in my mind is a win. And then focus, you know, further down the line for Crusher and Leadville, and even the new Trinidad race will be really similar to Crusher, I think.
Like, I love the rad course.
Yeah. Have you, you've ridden it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I really do. I really like that event. I'm excited that we threw that on the calendar, because it's a cool spot, and it's really beautiful. Not that that's surprising when you live in, you know, Colorado, but it's unique. So I think you're going to really like the rad course.
Awesome. Yeah, I look forward to it. I love that there's a couple races close to Durango. I don't have to travel super
far. Yeah, you don't have to go as far. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice. So yeah, we'll see what the next few weeks brings.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you Unbound. And where can people follow you this year throughout your season?
Oh, yeah. I post some on Instagram. I guess Instagram would be the spot. I have a TikTok. Not very good at TikTok. Maybe there's some good dog videos on TikTok. Funny dog videos. But yeah. Well, Sarah also writes a nice blog post sometimes of our adventures. So yeah, you could check out Sarah's website, see what she has going on there. But yeah, well,
and what's your Instagram handle?
I think it's ellen.m.campbell.
I think it is.
we'll check it for you.
I'm pretty sure it is. Well, yeah. Yeah. I have an email that's like very similar. So in my head, I get confused sometimes.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Awesome.
Well, Ellen, thanks so much for being patient with us as we got rooms. Never mind, I'm not even going to try.
It's been a day for Catherine. But anyway, thank you, Ellen, for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. And hopefully you can get some rest after your travel, and we'll see you at Unbound.
You have been listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast. This podcast is edited and produced by the team at Live Feisty Media. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating. It really helps other women find the podcast. And be sure to follow us at Girls Gone Gravel on Instagram or Facebook.